You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Morning, everybody, and welcome. The world is changing rapidly, and it looks like Christmas season is now not just the Advent season that used to be in the past, but at least 2 months, 3 months now, the Christmas season already started. So we are starting a new series now leading up to Christmas. New series, teaching series, we'll be discussing who is this Jesus that was sent to be born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And we'll be talking about the name of Jesus. So this morning I have decided to speak about Jesus. Good choice, hey? So who is this Jesus? We call him Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's how people know him. We know his son of, as we say, Joseph of Mary, although we know he was adopted by Joseph. But back in Nazareth, I'm pretty sure nobody knew him as anything else but son of Joseph, or as they used to call Ben Joseph, son of Mary, and Joseph the carpenter. So what is in this name, Jesus Christ? Where does this name come from? As we know from the Bible story, Joseph and Mary didn't have the honor or privilege to choose the name for their baby, for their son, because they had instructions from high authority. As it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, when angel came to Mary in Nazareth, and angel told her clearly, very clear instructions, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. There's no left or right. That's the name. Joseph and Mary didn't have to spend 6 weeks or 2 months going through all the baby's names books, you know, and choosing the most fitting one for a special boy. It was given to them. You will call him Jesus. Remember, nothing else. True Father in heaven gave the name to his son. It is God-given name. Ordained, given to us, all people on earth, to worship, call upon, and to find salvation in this name. And in Acts chapter 4, when Apostle Peter was speaking to the leaders in Jerusalem, and he said to them, this Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, and salvation is found in no one else. And these are important words. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. See, this is the name given by God to mankind by which we must be saved. So what is in this name, Jesus Christ? Firstly, we should know that his name is only Jesus, okay? He wasn't called by Mary and Joseph, oh, Jesus Christ. It was just Jesus. The word Christ is not a name. It's a title. Just like we say Professor Roy, you know, or Pastor Chris, or Doctor whatever. It's the title. So Jesus is the name. Christ was added as a title to him when in his adult years. But it started to be used even by the first apostle right away from the very beginning. When they talk about Jesus, they say, Jesus Christ. So, and it stick like, it sounds like a name to us. This is his full name. So it is not. When Andrew, who was the first, at the time he was disciple of John the Baptist, and Andrew find his brother Peter, and he said, he came to Peter and said, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. So they called him, even, you know, first disciples on the first meeting, already they knew this Jesus is the Christ. So they stick with the name from the very beginning. So we will come to the second part, the title part of his name later on, but I will start with the first name. So remember, only Jesus is the name, Christ is not the name, it's the title. So we'll start with the first one, Jesus. Jesus, this is in Hebrew, okay? So I'll just show you. So this is year, yot. We say j in English, but in Hebrew it's year. This is sh. When it's dot is on the right, it's sh. When it's dot on the left, it's s. This is v, but when it's dot in the middle, it's u. And this last one is ayin, but silent letters, which is not pronounced. So year, sh, u. And this little comma is a, and this is e. So Yeshua, Yeshua. That's how it's spelled, written in Hebrew. So this is Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua. Okay. So Jesus, of course, is Anglicized version of the beautiful Hebrew name Yeshua. I prefer to be called Milo, not Milo, not anything else. You know, if you lived in Nazareth 2,000 years ago, and you walked down the streets in Nazareth, and you saw this Jesus, you know, playing whatever footy or something, whatever played in Galilee 2,000 years ago, and you would call, "Oh, Jesus," he wouldn't pay attention to you, because that's not what he was. He was Yeshua. Okay. However, today we have about 7,000 languages around the world. And people from 7,000 languages and many dialects call him whatever name on the planet, whatever pronunciation you can think of, you know. So maybe there are 20,000 versions of how people call Jesus. So I'm pretty sure he really doesn't mind, because he speaks to your heart. It's not a matter of language, it's a matter of the spirit. So call him whatever you are used to. I'm not telling you have to start calling him Yeshua now. I'm just trying to explain you the meaning of his word. So when Jesus lived in Nazareth, the Jews, even Mother Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke Aramaic. And in Aramaic, his name was actually Yeshu. That's how his mommy would call him. Yeshu, something like that. So nobody called him Jesus when he was around, not even Yeshua. That was too official name, like, you know. So, and even today, well, somebody's called, say, William. He could be Bill, Billy, Wills, whatever, you know. We have so many versions of every name that we have. So these are some of the versions of the name of Jesus, see. Yes, this is Slovakian, Ježiš. We got in Russia, Isus, in Serbian, Isus as well, in Arabic, Isa, and whatever versions of, there are hundreds of different versions of the name of Jesus. Mommy call him Yesho. So even today, when I'll explain to you the proper Hebrew way, I'm not saying that we have to go to this version of his name and call him that name. The point is that the name Jesus, Yeshua, carries a powerful meaning and message in that name. And I want us to fully understand the meaning of his name. I'll start with this. So we are familiar with the name of Jesus is a composite name. It consists of two parts. I'll start with this. There are many, many Hebrew names that we are familiar with in the Bible, like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hezekiah, Obadiah, Adonai, Zechariah, Nehemiah, all the names that have Yah at the end. Yah, okay? And that Yah ending bit is a short version, abbreviation of Yahweh. Yah. So in the same way, then this Obadiah, Ebed, in Hebrew means servant. So Obadiah is servant of Yahweh, servant of God. Isaiah, God or Yahweh saves. Jeremiah, Yahweh will rise. Adonai, Yahweh is my Lord. All the Yah means Yahweh. In the case of Jesus, this Yah bit is in the beginning of his name. We say Jesus, so the J doesn't sound at all like Yah, but original Hebrew version of his name is Yehoshua or Yahshua. So the Y sound is Yahweh, Yah, Yah. So in the beginning of Jesus, his name is Yahweh. In one letter, It's Yahweh. Now, in the same way, like when we have typical English name John, which is actually Hebrew name, because John comes from Hebrew name Yohanan. Yo is also short version of Yahweh. Hanan, Yahweh is gracious. Yohanan, and we say John, and many Johns have no idea that actually means Yahweh is gracious. See, it's a wonderful name. Nobody knows. So Yeshua, that first bit, Yeh, represents Yahweh, means Yahweh, and then Shua. So what is Shua? The Shua's part comes from, I passed this one. Shua is the Hebrew word from the root word Yasha. And the dictionary, Strong Dictionary, explains the meaning of this word is to deliver, to gain victory, to help, preserve, save, to rescue, to spare. So the full name of Jesus means Yahweh is salvation, or Yahweh is deliverer, or God. Yeah? Yahweh, God is deliverer. He rescues, he preserves. Hallelujah. God saves us. That's the meaning of the name of the Son he sent to us. That's how he spoke to us. This is what I'm doing for you. Wow. See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is healing, freedom, victory in the name of Jesus. Because this is his name. This is his identity. This is who he is to us. He's all of these things and much more. And there's no other name like Jesus. There's no such power, such authority, and in other name than in Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name. What a powerful name. It's there. They are not just words. See, this is a declaration, confession. Yeah. So, for some, a swear word. To us, it's everything. Everything is in the name of Jesus. So, that's the Jesus part. Now, Christ. Jesus Christ. The Christ is from Greek language. Christos. H, actually. like Scottish, okay? and Christos is a Greek translation of the original Hebrew title that people started to use to describe Jesus from the very beginning, from the Hebrew word Mashiach. Again, Mashiach. So, we use this word in our own way, and our form. Let me say, Messiah. Messiah comes from Mashiach, okay, Hebrew word. But unfortunately, we don't associate this word with its original meaning. When we say Messiah, we mean Savior, Deliverer, Rescuer. But that is not the meaning of the word. We added that meaning to that word. Or change the meaning of the original Mashiach. When we say Jesus Christ, grammatically, actually, correct way should be Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ, because Jesus is a common name, but then we say, Jesus, which one? The Messiah, the Mashiach. Jesus the Messiah, okay? Which means the anointed one. With Jesus, the anointed ones, okay? That's what Christ is, the title given to Jesus. Jesus, the anointed one. Now, so this is the full version of in Hebrew, of Jesus. So, Yeshua, her is the, that's just the article, and then Mashiach, anointed. So, Jesus, the anointed. Yeshua HaMashiach. That's how you say it in Hebrew. Okay? So when we say Jesus Christ, we are saying Yahweh is salvation. The anointed one. It is he, the one who said that Yahweh is his name forever and that this is his memorial unto all generations, including the generation at Rockingham in 2023. Jesus, Yahweh, is our salvation and deliverance. That is his name. And he will not give his glory to any other name. And his praise is not to be given to any other name or any other idols. Jesus is our rescuer, and beside him there is no other savior. And we are not to seek deliverance in anything or anyone else. Jesus is the one whose prophet Isaiah spoke in chapter 61. That he says he's anointed one, anointed to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. That Jesus claimed these words upon himself in Nazareth when he entered the synagogue. And he said, this is the anointing on me to do this for you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The word Spirit of the Lord is upon me speaks of anointing. You know, when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the Spirit came as a dove. That was the anointing, the Christos, Messiah. He started to be, it was proclaimed to be, this is the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do these things for you. Now, Christos. So even though this is in Greek, okay, oh yes. So this is the Christos. Christos. That's how it's written in Greek language, originally, if you want. Yeah. So the title Christ is from this original Greek word Christos, meaning anointed one. But the Christian understanding of the Messiah originates in a Jewish concept of coming Messiah, Mashiach, the anointed one, servant of the Lord who is anointed to come to deliver the people of God, as God's prophets foretold from centuries or millennia before, the one who will come to save his people. So then Jews who accepted Jesus Christ as a savior became the first Christian church with 12 apostles and 3,000 others in Jerusalem. And it was predominantly, of course, Jewish group in the first couple, you know, season. But then, sooner or later, it became predominantly Gentile. And for some, we are all now Gentile believers. So for us, it's harder to understand that we are actually followers of the Jewish Messiah, who came as a Jew, but he came to save the whole world. He came for the whole mankind. So what is this concept of a Jewish Messiah who came for us all? Concept of anointed one, Christos. What is this anointing? What does it mean to be anointed? In the Old Testament, the word anoint is Mashach. Mashach. That's why Mashiach, Messiah. Okay. So I'll give you some examples of the use of these words to help us to understand this concept of anointing a little better. The first occurrence of the word anoint in the Bible, one of the patriarchs, Jacob, when he was running away, he was sleeping on the ground somewhere, he put the rock under his head, he was sleeping in this place that is later was called Bethel, and in a dream, God appeared to him in a dream, the stairs, the ladder to heaven, angels coming up and down, and in the morning he woke up, and said, oh, this is the house of God, Bethel, Beth means God. House and El is God, and he put the rock upside, upstanding, and put oil on that rock and said, this is the presence of God in here. God dwells here. Anointing represented God's presence from this first occurrence in the Bible. God dwells here. Anointing, remember that. Anointing and God's presence. Now, after Moses led the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, the first people who were anointed were Aaron and the other sons who were to serve as priests to the Lord in the tabernacle. So they were called to serve in the tabernacle. They were the only ones who were allowed to go into the presence of God. Again, anointing connected with the presence of God, God dwelt in the tabernacle. This anointing was for holiness. To be holy, it meant to be separated for divine special purposes. Even Aaron had an inscription on his turban, on his head, holiness to Yahweh, holiness to God. So priests were anointed for God. They were Mashiach, Messiah, if you want. Then the second group of people who were anointed in later on, when the kingdom of Israel was established in the promised land, God told prophet Samuel to anoint the first king for God's people. And King Saul was anointed. And then David and then other kings were anointed as God's servants. They were separated for the divine purposes to lead the people of God. Then the third group of people who were anointed were prophets. Elijah was told to anoint Elisha to be the prophet of God, and then many others were anointed as prophets. Prophets were anointed, separated again for the divine purposes of God. They were people through whom God has spoken. Even the word prophet, prophetai, means pro, means for, and fetai means to speak. Speak for somebody. Prophets were speaking for God. They were God's mouthpiece. See? And even Hebrews says, God spoke in many ways in the past, but in the last days he spoke through his Son, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the last word that God had to speak, a prophesy. Jesus Christ is incarnation of the prophecy. God spoke through many, and now he speaks through Jesus. The Word becoming a flesh and dwelling, God's presence dwelling among us, anointing upon him, his incarnated prophet, Word of God, dwelling among us. He is the anointed one. And Jesus is all three of these: King, prophet, and priest. In Hebrews 4:14 tells us that we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. In Matthew 2:2, in the Christmas story, when the Magi came from the east, they arrived and bowed down, and they were looking for a king. They were looking, to bring the gifts to the king. There was King of Israel. There was to be born, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when Pilate was inquiring about Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus did not deny, but said, my kingdom, so he was saying, yes, I have a kingdom, I am a king, but my kingdom is not the kingdom that you think. My kingdom is something else, see, not from this earth. Then in Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, the Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Moses was saying, prophet will come. You must listen to him. When Jesus was baptized in the river and the Holy Spirit came upon him and Jesus was proclaimed anointed one, the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove, and God, Father, Yahweh from heaven says, this is my son, listen to him. The same words, listen to this prophet, listen to this word of God that I'm speaking to you, to this anointed one, listen to him. So Moses was speaking of Jesus, of the prophet who was recognized by many as such. Prophets were sent by God as Jesus was. They spoke for God as Jesus did. They performed God's divine acts, divine miracles, healings, wonders as Jesus did. And they called people to repentance, as Jesus called people to turn away from their sins and return to the Father. In Matthew 21:11, the whole crowd in Jerusalem, they were saying, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus Christ, Yahweh is salvation, the anointed one. In a few moments, we will be witnessing something amazing, baptism of a few people here. Very exciting time. When we are baptized, we are immersed into this wonderful name, grafted into the vine. When we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we fulfill the meaning of his name. We accept, yes, Yahweh is deliverer. He is salvation. Baptism, we identify with that confession. we accept, we receive, and we declare it. Yes, through this chosen one, we are sons and daughters of God, through anointed deliverer. When we are baptized into his name, we are becoming holy priests according to his word. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So we become anointed, separated, holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are his holy spiritual dwelling place, Bethel, where God's anointing presence dwells, temple of the Lord, just like Bethel, anointed for by God's presence, separated from sin, from world, and for his purposes. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.